It's time to ramble. It's time for the Royal Ramble. Participants include Stephen Graham, Tim Livingston, and J.R. Goldberg, plus the 1990 Royal Rumble. Turn on to the WWE Network at 1 hour, 37 minutes, and 23 seconds, because it's time for the Ramble. So here we are. This is the pilot episode. We'll see if this gets picked up. But it's me, Stephen Graham, back with Tim Livingston. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing good. Back from our break. And how are you doing, JR?
I'm doing great.
Back from our break too.
I feel like Stephen had two, like, separate but equal relationships going, and we all took breaks and learned about ourselves, and yeah, we just decided to start this polyamorous thing that we're doing now. So
yeah, sounds about right.
I'm more of a one relationship type of guy, but hey, I'm in an experimental stage in my life, so
there you go.
Yeah, well, basically we're also bloody busy. It's hard to do a podcast where you have to, you know, spend hours of researching before. So this podcast has no research.
Zero.
So yeah, exactly. So we have the 1990 Royal Rumble on in the background. The Fink here is just kind of laying down the rules. Yeah. We'll kind of loosely watch it, and we'll just kind of talk about whatever for an hour, and we'll see what comes up.
Yeah. Truthfully, I do not believe that I remember who wins this Royal Rumble, which is how little research I've done. I have a couple of guesses, but I don't know if I'm right or not. So this will be like an exciting watch for me. It'll be like it's new, you know, because I've forgotten what's happened because I've watched too much wrestling in my life.
Well, Ted DiBiase came out number one, so it's probably not going to be him.
Probably not going to be Ted DiBiase.
This is one of those really cool storylines, though. Like, he paid for number 30 last year, and then Karma bit him in the ass, and he has to take number one this year. I always enjoyed that. Are you guys looking at the greatest WWE wrestler ever thing at all?
On, what is that, on PWO?
Yeah, on the Place to Be Nation. Yeah,
on Facebook. No, I have not. But I should, because that sounds interesting. What stage are they at right now? Are people being nominated, or have they
pretty
already,
much
are they
everyone's been nominated? But okay, you can still nominate, and votes I think are due at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, two people that were in the WWE for a while, Coco and Ted DiBiase. Do you think you put any of them on your list?
I think Parv is going to put one of these two people at number one on his list.
Coco?
Yes, Coco. I mean, you know, Ted probably deserves a spot. Maybe Coco does because of the tag stuff. I don't know.
He's got high energy.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun run, you know.
You love that team unconditionally, though. That's the thing. You love some high energy.
Man, when I was a kid, I remember, I think it must have been 91 or whatever, and I told my brother, you know, we don't have enough tapes to, like, tape superstars every week or whatever, but let's like, pick one person, or, like, one tag team and one singles guys each, and just tape all their matches. And I remember being like, okay, anytime Savage comes on and anytime High Energy comes on, tape those up for me.
You know, it's interesting, like, maybe Owen gets his just due as a tag worker, but, like, that dude was in a lot of, like, maybe not a lot, but, like, you know, I think the tag team he had with Jeff Jarrett is, like, really unheralded as, like, a fun, sort of, like, you know, mid-card tag, heel tag team, I guess, you know?
The problem is, we'll never know because I can't go back and watch Russo stuff. So.
Right.
So we'll never know.
But we'll never know.
I like the Bulldog tag a lot.
Yes.
The
yeah.
new foundation with Neidhart when they're wearing puffy pants. That was pretty good too.
Sure.
And Yoko. The Yoko tag was awesome.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
And the one or two matches that him and Brett had were freaking great too versus Steiners. And I think they had another match, but the Rouge, the Mounties. So
one thing I'm noticing about this match is the upper deck is definitely dark, like super dark.
I wrote a piece for Atomic Elbow. And the match and the sort of like the memory that I was going over. I don't know if people who are listening to this have read my stuff, but like generally I just sort of try and talk about like almost like a travel log or diary type entry of like shows and matches I've gone to. And, last night I wrote about going to Starrcade 2000. and so for the first, literally like the first time since I went to Starrcade 2000. I rewatched Starrcade 2000. And, talk about a show where there's a lot of dark seats.
yeah, right.
I looked it up on Wikipedia and like that was in the MCI arena. So like that's where like the Wizards still play. Like that's a big, and the Capitals and stuff, you know?
And oh yeah. 16,000, 17,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And the advertised gate, like the announced gate for that show on Wikipedia is like 6,200 people.
So it's probably like 3,000.
Yeah, they're like, and like, I remember, and I couldn't find myself rewatching it, but like, I remember pretty distinctly where I was sitting, and there was no one around me. And I was like, I was on floor seats, you know, cause the tickets were like a holiday present. So man, there was just no one there. I mean, it's pretty shocking to watch. By the way, I will say, rewatching that show, the Scott Steiner Sid Vicious main event is like not nearly as bad as you would think, but you'll never know. Oh, Russo was probably fired by that point, right?
Probably. No, I think I remember that being somewhat decent.
It's like 10 minutes. It's like a sprint.
Yeah. Goldberg and Steiner and the
Goldberg Steiner match. Yeah, that was a good match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Steiner Sid, or no, so Goldberg Sid was a great match too, where they played a lot. So
yeah, Goldberg doesn't get his just due. Like he had a lot of fun stuff in WCW, and people are like, "Oh, he only has one move or whatever," you know. But like
he was great. Like he was my favorite wrestler at the time.
I will stop. So one of the things that WWE has been doing lately is on their YouTube page, they've been putting up old Goldberg WWE matches.
Really?
And I for sure. And so I will watch those.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's just, it's 4 or 5 minutes each. They're easily digestible. And there's always one or two things in the match that make you like go, holy shit, Goldberg was awesome. Like, I mean, that's just how he was.
I have the Goldberg Lesnar match from WrestleMania as my current number two match of the year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a top five match of the year for me right now. Like it's the greatest Clash of Titans style match in at least 20 years, maybe more.
It's like watching something out of a comic book. Like, it's like two dudes just trying to flatten each other. You know?
There are 4 moves in the match total. 4 moves.
What else do you need, though? Fuck.
It's incredible. There's a spear, there's a jackhammer, there's a German suplex, and there's an F5. That's all. Those are the only 4 moves in the match. It lasts just under 6 minutes, and it's phenomenal the entire time.
Yeah.
I got to say, seeing Goldberg live and his return in Toronto was like the best live wrestling thing I've ever seen in my life.
It
was so good.
That's awesome.
And like the crowd just was insane. Like, you know, with Goldberg matches, you chant Goldberg from the start, and then the match starts, and then you chant it afterwards. But the match was so short, it just continued the entire match. too. And then afterwards, it was like from his entrance to the show went off the air, it was like 10 minutes straight of just Goldberg chants. I remember just like jumping up and down, pointing at Musgrave. He's like, it can't be over yet. I'm like, fuck, it's going to be over. Like, I'm like, he fucking speared
him. 90 seconds in? What? Time out!
Yeah, it was so good. But if anyone's watching along at home, what the fuck is Randy Savage wearing?
Oh yeah, right?
Randy Savage is literally dressed like a young buck.
I was about to say. So that's it's either that or Coco gave him like a leftover. like my goodness.
This is because when he started as the king, he wore the shorts still.
Right.
And later on, he transitioned into the full king. This is early king transition, and it's just bizarre as fuck.
It's got these flowers on it. It's almost like if superstar Billy Graham wore pants. And, you know.
But he's got these arm sleeves too, and he's got the hat still on.
It's out of the Jimmy. I was gonna say it's almost out of the Jimmy Snuka, but with more colors.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like it's very very odd. Like I think Jesse Ventura would wear something like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a lot of star power early on.
There's a huge amount of star power in this match.
Yeah.
Piper's
hair is very long. I don't remember Piper's hair.
Rick Martel's hair is a full mullet in this match.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible. It's coming. And it's really odd because before I realized that he was coming out to work with DiBiase, I'm sitting there going like, oh, wait a minute. When did the snake bite Macho? And that wasn't for like another couple of years. So I'm sitting there going like, I'm in the wrong timeline. I'm in the alternate universe.
Speaking of mullets, there are three dudes like right under the hard camera in the front row.
Oh my god! Yeah, I just saw them
fucking going ham.
They were earlier when the Bushwhackers came out in the tag match, the tag opener. They were going nuts. They were losing it. Here's Piper just freaking waylaying fools.
Yeah.
So real quick. So is there anything? So I have this kind of theory about indie wrestling this year that it's so oversaturated that nothing comes off as important. And I think a lot of that is because people are just kind of over what WWE has been doing to kind of co-opt the idea of what independent wrestling is. Is there anything on the independents this year that you guys have thought has been anywhere like close to what we saw even last year or the year before, or is everything just kind of the same? Is there too homogenous when it comes to indie wrestling right now?
You know, I think that's a great question. And I think that there are individual performers who are having good years, but I do think that, that things tend to get lost in the sauce a little bit. You know, like, I think that Fred Yeha is having as good a year as anybody, right? But, like, you know, if someone was, like, I don't believe that he is going to have a match in my top 10 for the year or anything like that. You know, I think that there's good performers who have probably had good matches in the indies, but maybe... Like Elgin comes to mind as having some good stuff in AEW, right? But
Trevor Lee has been absolutely sensational this year. Like this is as good as Trevor Lee has ever looked, you know?
Yes. But again, you know, like I think that that with Trevor Lee, like last year was probably his coming out party. And like, even though I do think that his stuff is probably more digestible this year, you know, it doesn't have the hype surrounding it that it did last year necessarily, you know?
Right, because it was new. Trevor Lee having that type of year, that's kind of a new thing. And I guess I just think about this because, the Scenic City Invitational is this weekend and everybody talks about, you know, we're in a small corner of wrestling Twitter. And so there's a lot of people who are talking about it, a lot of people who are going to be going to it.
Right.
I was going to go to it before my current Stompers stuff got in the way of it. But one thing I just keep thinking about is like on the indies right now, it just doesn't seem like Evolve had something last year. Evolve had this kind of aura about it that it was the standout indie promotion. It is. It's gone.
I've taken kind of a break this year, so I haven't really watched much 2017. But I have.
Neither has anybody else.
Yeah.
But PWG seems like it's kind of lost that.
I started watching Beyond from this year, so I've watched like three or four shows of them, and it's pretty fun. Like Keith Lee really stands out.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Joey Janela Like,
yeah.
If
yeah.
anyone stands out on the indies, it's fucking Joey Janela. Like, he had that WrestleMania weekend. Amazing.
Spring Break, baby. Hell yeah.
Spring Break was amazing.
The clusterfuck. The clusterfuck. Yeah, man.
The clusterfuck is Marty Jannetty match. And his stuff in Beyond is damn entertaining. Like, he had this vicious, crazy, like, death match I was watching where, like, they were stabbing each other with skewers in the head and stuff. So that was pretty great.
I will say that, you know, perhaps this conversation, I don't know when this podcast will officially drop, you know, but...
Probably Wednesday.
Sure. So a few days after that, you know, at the CZW, the show where we may or may not have Onita.
Tremont versus Onita. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, which is...
you know, but, like, that will be a great moment. But at that show is like, the semi-main, I guess... is Janela versus Leo Rush in one of Rush's last matches before he, you know, goes to NXT or whatever. And, like, that could be a truly special indie moment. Like, one, because both of them are insane, and two, because there's, like, actually a history there that, like...
Yeah, they've had a bunch of great matches.
Yes, and their matches have escalated in a way that you want to see the next one.
Yeah. CZW has stealthily built up a couple of kind of rivalries that you don't really think about, and that's one of them. Like, that was a really well done kind of run between those two, for sure.
Yeah, but the problem with like Leo Rush leaving the indies, it's not like Hiro leaving the indies or anything like that. Like, he hasn't been around, like, as a star that long.
So right.
It seems like it's just another guy signing up.
Totally,
not like,
yeah.
It's not like a big goodbye type of thing. Like, one of my favorite matches this year, I think my number one at this point, is Hiro Saber Jr. and Hiro's last match. Because, like, it felt like something special. But, I don't know. WWE signs them up too quickly now, so there's, like, no special goodbye.
Yeah, right. like Dijak, you know, he's got his last date coming, I think, this weekend or next weekend. And, you know, speaking of Beyond, I mean, he's basically... been the guy for Beyond, and it's interesting to kind of think about, you know, this happens in waves, right? You think about, like, indie guys getting a call or something like that. Like, this is one of those big waves that happens every now and then. But it does just kind of seem like when this happened before, you could look at a promotion, like a specific promotion, and say this person's going to step up or this other person's going to step up. And I'm not sure. Like, I don't know where this leads. I think you have too many guys who are willing to work wherever and not kind of make their, like, a home promotion, their spot. And they're just willing to go wherever, which is good. They want the exposure. They want to get their name out there.
Yeah.
But I do kind of miss, you know, one of the reasons I think I like Trevor Lee is because he's really tried to make CWF, like, his home, his turf. And he's got the great matches. He had the Chip Day match. He had the Elgin match. I mean, he's really doing a lot to make CWF kind of this standout amongst, you know, a lot of places that are still trying to kind of find their calling, you know?
I feel like a lot of them just aren't distinct because, like, they kind of use all the same talent.
Yeah, and I think that the indie dream match bed has proliferated to a point where, aside from CZW, you know, which still stands out as, like, you know, sleazy, you know, shitty deathmatch fed or whatever. Even though it's probably not 100% that anymore. Like, a lot of these, like, maybe this is just rose-colored glasses, but, like, I feel like when in, you know, the quote-unquote golden age of the indies, when we were all posting thousands of times a day on DVD-VR or whatever, like, in 2005, I could have told you what ROH's identity was and how that was different than PWG and how that was different than CZW and how that was different than IWA Mid-South, you know? And, now, like, aside from the accents involved, I couldn't tell you what the difference between PWG and Progress is, you know? I couldn't tell you the difference between AAW and PWG, really, you know?
You have Chikara. At least.
Yeah, it's certainly Chikara is still an island unto itself. And Chikara is still quite good and quite entertaining. I mean, it won't get talked about really, but that the technical wrestling tournament they did with Riddle and James Mason and Quack and Saber. Like, that was a great little one-day show, you know?
Yeah, I want to go back to that for sure.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say, and I'll give PWG credit, you know, this sort of goes back to one of Tim's points about maybe it feeling like a bit of a down year, and I do think that when you look at PWG this year, and when you look at, like, the BOLA lineup and how they've booked title changes and stuff, I think that it is clear that they are trying to prepare for a future in a way that some other companies maybe are not, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, give PWG credit for looking down the road a little bit, you know, where other companies may not.
But to be fair, yeah, it's not a down year for wrestling, because on Twitter,
no.
I have seen that there's been a 6-star match, a 6.25 star match. Even apparently, Michael Elkins had 3 5-star matches in the last week. So wrestling is apparently at, like, the pinnacle peak of history right now. So I haven't watched it, so I don't know, but apparently it's at some super peak.
I've watched none of the G1 so far. Exactly none of it. I've told the people in the VOW, the Voices of Wrestling Slack, that once it's all over, I want someone to, like, make me a mixtape of, like, the 11 best matches, you know? Like, the 11 matches that I truly actually need to watch in order to, like, have a conversation at the end of the year. But other than that, I'm not interested.
Yeah, you and the great Matt Hollinger, my good friend, he wanted the exact same thing. He was like, yeah, I want the greatest hits, you know.
I don't want the complete box set of the
show. Yeah, I just need the greatest hits. Hey, just so you guys, I think you guys might have read this, but I posted in our chat here this article from Cage Side Seats a couple weeks ago that I've gone back and referenced a couple of times, and that's the reason I brought it up, was that there's this homogenization of wrestling styles, and it basically has gotten to the point where it really is making it difficult for places to stand out in this day and age, because everybody is kind of using a little bit of everything from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of looking at it and trying to figure out, well, you're really looking at it for the guys as opposed to the promotion, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that I understand works, because, you know, if you got name value, you got some heat behind you, you want to go with that guy. By the way, did Dusty and Andre ever fight against each other? I don't think they ever did.
I don't think so either.
They're going at it pretty good right now.
Yeah.
So, I also want to point out in this match so far, like, what we're probably 10 or 11 people into the Royal Rumble at this point, maybe further than that. But currently, around the ring, there are 4 managers.
And 3 referees.
And 3 referees.
And this is also, like, during that great Fuji Hinen feud, which was good. So.
But yeah, no, there's so many people around the ring. There are probably equal seconds in this match.
Yeah. Well, this sets up the very racist Piper Bad News feud for WrestleMania.
Yeah. God, yeah.
I did like that Bad News threw him out and then turned his back and just, like, celebrated.
Right.
Like, even though Piper was lying right behind him. So that was pretty good. But
man. But yeah, so it's... To me, I understand that people want to see certain guys, but this is where, you know, I hate to throw them under the bus, but I kind of feel like a lot of this, as far as wanting to work your style regardless of where you go and not trying to do it from a promotional standpoint, is, you know, the Bucks got over for a reason, right? It's because everybody liked their style of match, and so when they went to go work somewhere, they would work their style of match. It wouldn't be that much different than what you would see in 5 different promotions. They would throw some shtick in there to try and change it up. But at the end of the day, it was still a Young Bucks match. And now it just kind of seems like there's a lot of guys who don't want to stay home and be, you know, they want that Young Bucks type of, you know, fame and exposure, which, to be honest with you, when it comes to the indies, you have to be able to go around to a lot of different places to do that. But I also think that the Bucks are an outlier. There's only a few people who can really go out there and work like that and do what those guys do. And it seems like that template is just not
working out for a lot of these guys who think it should work out for them.
I agree 100%. I would also say that, like, the, you know, there's like, you know, the people on Twitter, like Rip Rogers and, you know, the Jim Cornette and the people that, like, reference, you know, like the Young Bucks being like wrestling's antichrist or whatever, you know.
I'm not going nearly that far.
I'm not saying that you are, but like, I think that you are right in that, like, people have tried to emulate them, and I think that a lot of the backlash towards people like the Young Bucks, or I guess a lot of the backlash toward the Young Bucks is due not to the Young Bucks, but to the poor imitations that many people are doing on the indies to try and get noticed, you know?
Right. That's the thing, is like, I have to give them credit for getting themselves over the way they have.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, have to, because they are the one team out there as a team, mind you, not as an individual, but as a team that is going out there and is making a lot of money doing the way that they've wanted to do. They are completely self-made, and I have to give them 100% credit for that.
Yes.
At the same time, there can be detriment to it. And that's the thing. It's like, it's good for them. It's good for how they want to do things. But it can also oversaturate the environment that they come into. And that's where they can, you know, this is where I'm coming from, is that I just don't feel like there are that many standouts anymore.
Is
like,
Ring of Honor?
Like, Steven, you talked about Hero leaving. Like, who's the next? Like, I think the Bucks leaving, like, if that ever happens, and, you know, they're no-selling it, they're always going to no-sell it, but it's like, if it happens, it's going to be as big a deal as Hero.
But, oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know who would be next. There isn't a name right there on the indies that's like, oh, my God, that they basically are the guys that have really cultivated themselves specifically on the indies, you know?
Sure. There should be. Like, there's Riddle. I mean, there's like, Dalton Castle. Like, those guys should be huge stars, like, that people want to see.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, part of this is that, like, I mean, certainly no one it's unbelievable to me to say this, because I suppose financially, like, Ring of Honor has never been doing better than it is right now. Like, more people watch Ring of Honor 2005 and 2006 and 2007 or whatever, but like, so Ring of Honor is clearly doing fine, but like, Ring of Honor having no buzz amongst the wrestling obsessives, I think really hurts the overall buzz of people on the indies, you know, like,
right.
Because there is no one currently right now, that is the standard bearer for a company that would be a viable alternative, except New Japan Pro Wrestling, right?
Right.
Like, the quote-unquote, like, indie stars that are on the level of Punk and Joe and Bryan Danielson and people like that, you know, Hero to some extent, that's
Styles.
Mega right now. You know?
Right.
Yeah, AJ Styles, right. Like, that's Kenny Omega right now. That's Okada. You know, it's those people. I mean, it was Nakamura. You know, it's just God overseas, really. Like, you know, the current day ROH, is now NJPW.
Right.
Well, it's shocking.
Now that,
Ring of Honor, right? Like, Keith Lee was there for a while, right?
Yeah, they did nothing with him.
And no one really cared. But all of a sudden he leaves, and it's like, oh, Keith Lee's the big star. Like,
yeah.
How the hell is Ring of Honor? They have Dalton Castle, who could have been a big star. They have Leo Rush.
Like, yeah.
They had the talent. It's just, it's such a, I don't know, it's just, there's no momentum at all.
Like, no, I think that
I think it's the, I think it's the price and the model of how you watch it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if Ring of Honor could, like, I mean, who knows why they haven't done this. There's got to be a good reason, you know. But, like, if Ring of Honor put up a good streaming service that had access to all of their backlog of shows, like, that would be the streaming service, right, for wrestling-obsessive people.
JR, I don't know if you remember, but that happened a few months ago before, before it kind of got taken down. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
My Google Drive does not count as an ROH stream.
But that is true. And I remember a couple months ago when people were talking about it, like there was the rumor about, was talking about like the WWE perhaps buying the ROH library because they've done so many of these, you know, biographies on these guys who have ROH ties, and it just kind of seems like, hey, why not? But you're right. It just kind of seems to me like it's just places to go. And now everybody's like, well, if I'm not going to go to WWE right away, the only place that I should really be shooting for is New Japan. And even then, like New Japan, they have their dojo. They're trying to go and get guys, you know, in Japan. Meanwhile, you have all these guys who are trying to get there, like the Bucks and Elgin and Omega. And it's like, there's only so many spots.
Team just came out.
There's only. Oh yeah, dude.
Look at him go. He's jucking and jiving. He's big punching. Sorry, you didn't hear your point.
No, Slick, by the way, is like number five in terms of seconds of this match. You know.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
I almost feel like at the end of this match, all the managers should get in there and have their own Royal Rumble, like the way this is going.
But like, I don't know. I remember the rumor for a bit was like, the network would have, like tiers, and like, if you pay a little bit extra, you can get Ring of Honor pay-per-views live too.
Yeah. Right.
That never happened yet. It still could, I guess, but. I guess if Ring of Honor was like streaming their pay-per-views live and they had their whole backlog on the WWE network, maybe that would actually give them some buzz.
Yeah. Well, think of it like this, like the reason they didn't get it on Flow Slam is because they felt that their brand was good enough to stand on its own. And I have a feeling that they want to try and do something eventually
Beyond does it. Stardom does it.
Here's the other thing too is like
Smash.
they could have done like New Japan. They could have ponied up with New Japan and say, hey, you want to host it on their side. Like that would have been incredible get for them.
Yeah, should have been on the New Japan World. That would make sense.
But hey, you know, shit happens, I guess.
I mean, if ROH, CMLL. And New Japan got together and like did an actual partnership where they had their own quote unquote network. Like that would be a tremendous buy. Like I would spend money on that, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that I would spend money on any one of those things individually because, I would. CMLL, but it's free. So I'll spend $0 to watch on YouTube every week, you know, or
you know what? I would spend $5 a month to watch it on their own streaming service, though.
Yeah.
As opposed to watching.
Do you know how many Roche Brands ads there would be on that streaming service?
Shit.
But if they had some kind of archive, like
yeah, I mean, if there was a CMLL archive, like that would be pretty unbelievable.
Oh my god, the CMLL archive would be like you want to talk about a holy grail. Like, I mean, especially if they go back into the 80s. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I don't believe that they have access to that stuff necessarily, you know?
Goodbye.
That sucked. But, I think it's owned by the television companies, like Televisa and stuff like that.
Correct. Yeah, the footage was owned not by the company, but by is that random? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Televisa needs a streaming service then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, like that's sort of feasible, right? Because they would have the CMLL archive to a certain point and AAA.
Yeah.
Right.
And all of AAA, right? Because they started AAA because they got pissed that that the union was giving them guff about when the wrestling needed to be on, right? So.
Right.
Plus, I'm sure they have their own shows that are good.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's like awesome Mexican soap operas.
Yeah,
especially telenovela for days, man.
Yeah. Like that have like those girls with drawn on freckles and like weird colored wigs. I feel like there's one of those in every Mexican soap opera.
I don't have the knowledge to confirm or deny that.
So
we're I don't know. Has anyone counting?
We're about
halfway, right?
20 in?
I think we're 20 or so in. We're pretty close here.
So yeah. I have this on mute,
and I can still tell that this crowd is hyped, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Mullet guys are enjoying. They're standing up. Like, I think they're pissed the referee's in front of them. Actually, I guess it would suck being at ringside. There's so many people there that you wouldn't be able to see through.
Yeah.
Dino Bravo. Yeah. This is right before, right? Like, this is like literally like right before. No, this is like 90, right? What's the timeline on Bravo in WWF? What was the timeline again?
When was he done?
Well, when he was done.
He was there in 91 still.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Cause I still remember him in 91. So, but Bravo, man, WWE in Canada is weird. Like,
hey man, it's Patterson. It was all Patterson, man. Like, Montreal and the Rougeaus. Yeah.
It's just that they have the Rougeaus who they pretend are, Americans. They have Bravo who they claim is the world's strongest, or Canada's strongest man. They have, Iron Mike Sharp, who they claim is Canada's greatest athlete. It's very bizarre.
They have Ronnie Garvin, who is from Charlotte, North Carolina, but of course is from Canada. It's like, they got.
That's like
Quake.
Claiming Tommy Rich is Canadian. That's like.
Hey, first off, Tommy Rich is Italian. Get it right.
And people wonder why Bret Hart got so popular in Canada, because he was like the only real like Canadian that they can see like shit, so.
Not Quebecois Canadian. That's the way they could go. So, oh man. Is there anything
they never tried to say? He was like Jimmy Hart's brother or something.
That'd be incredible. There really should have been something like that. Yeah. So, hey, what's the thing you watched recently that you guys are pimping right now? Like, what's the match or the show?
Earthquake.
Earthquake.
Oh man.
Who cares? It's Earthquake. It's always Earthquake.
Okay. Steven's like this match because Quake is in it. Yeah. He's jumping. Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to jump right now. Oh, hey, here's a Canadian. So this
yeah, is about to say. So he's wearing the Canadian flags because he's still being billed as the Canadian Earthquake.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's going to destroy man. Dusty, I think, right here.
And the. Yeah, and the former NWA champion goes out because Earthquake is getting the super push. Yeah.
He's too powerful. Earthquake is too powerful.
Well, he's got to face Demolition. But yeah, anything I've watched from 2017?
Wrestling-wise
lately. Like, what have you watched? It's just like, oh yeah, that's great. Okay. Like, I have mine just because I turned it on random on the network a couple weeks ago.
What is it? You go first.
The fucking Iron Man match from Beach Blast 92, man.
Well, that's
Steamboat and Rude, which
that's
was just like,
match. Yeah.
Like, just, it really is, it is endlessly rewatchable. Like, it is a match that the more you watch it, the more you're just like, that seems like an almost perfect wrestling match. Like,
Beach Blast
it really
92 was one of the first things I watched when the network came out.
Oh yeah.
Because, like, you know, I wanted to rewatch that. Like, that era of WCW pay-per-view, like, Beach Blast 92, I watched Spring Stampede 94, there's a few other ones that from that era of WCW that are just awesome pay-per-views.
Yeah, the first one I watched was Great American Bash 92. That was the first one I watched, just because I wanted to see Sting Vader. That was... You know, oh, here comes Neidhart. Oh, criminy. Here comes Neidhart. not Canadian. Of all the people we've mentioned, not Canadian. He is Canadian. From Tampa.
He's from Nevada.
Yeah. He's from Nevada. That's right.
The home of the Golden Knights.
That's right.
For me.
But yeah, that's my match. That's my match.
Yeah, that's a great match. And I need to rewatch. I haven't watched that in years. For me though, I've been doing a project, cause the greatest WWE wrestler thing. I started watching every Bret Hart match on tape, and I'm kind making a top 100 Bret Hart matches list for the end of the year.
So
I'm getting pretty far in that, and I think one match that surprisingly stood out as really great was Dynamite Kid and Bret Hart from the Capitol Center from like 86. I had like 3 3/4, and it was just like high intense, high speed craziness for it, like, it's a match you do not expect in the WWF in 1985. It's from September 14th.
That's like right after Hart got signed full time. Then that's like really right before he came in and was with Neidhart from the start, right?
Because the Hart Foundation started tagging in April, so it's a few
April,
months.
Okay,
in.
Yeah. Okay,
but yeah, it's him and Dynamite just going full speed, crazy knee drops by Dynamite to Brett's face. Just it's like a sprint. But it gets a lot of time. It's really great. It's I think it's probably pretty easy to find on YouTube and Daily Motion or whatever. But yeah, that's something that kind of surprised me how good it was.
Nice.
What have I been rewatching? So aside from Starrcade 2000,
what stood out on that show besides Sid?
So like bizarrely enough. There are two pretty good matches on that show. The main I liked way more than I thought I would, which was Sid and Steiner. And then the opening match is like a three-way ladder match between, the Young Dragons and Three Count and, you know, some other team.
Evan Courageous?
Evan Courageous and somebody. and like, that match is awesome. Like, that's just like a tremendous, like, you know, ladder match from before people realized what concussions were, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. So if you're into that sort of thing, like if you're into the like Hardys, Dudleys style ladder matches, you know, watch this, you'll get a big kick out of it. I think it's like 13 minutes. It's not long.
Right.
I went back and rewatched it because it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people associate me with the Necro Butcher in terms of, like, you know, a wrestler that I pimp a lot.
How much is the going rate for Necro Butcher?
What's that?
When you pimp a lot. Out. Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. You know, he's got a minor league baseball connection, just like Tim does.
That's right, he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
What position did
Dragons now?
What did he play?
Well, he's on the grounds crew of a minor league baseball team.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Does he wear shoes?
In Virginia. He does now at this point.
Wow.
So I was watching some of his stuff in Japan, and there's a really awesome brawl that he has with Predator or like Sylvester Turkay.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, when you hear, like, Necro Butcher versus Sylvester Turkay, you're like, that sounds not awesome, but it's actually, like, shockingly pretty awesome. So that's on Daily Motion. I think, Victator, who, you know, some people have been around
that's a blast from the past.
Yeah. He uploaded it onto Daily Motion for me. So, Yeah. That is a mullet, by the way.
Yeah,
I told you.
That's the king of mullets. Right there. Rick Martel's mullet is just
purple. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. It's like what Roosh's hair would look like if Roosh ever had dry hair.
Correct.
Yeah. If Roosh was playing a model.
If Roosh was not unofficially sponsored by Soul Glow.
Yeah.
Yes. So the match, like the, have, so you guys haven't been watching like Raw or anything like that the last, I'd say 2 months, right? You guys have been.
I watch Raw every week.
Really?
Okay. Wow. So are you pumped for tonight? Because that is as crazy a three way as you'll see. Like Joe Braun Reigns as a three-way right now might be like outside of throwing Brock in there in a four-way match at SummerSlam might be like the match I want to see most because I mean like it looks insane. It looks like it could like be one of the great matches that you could have right now.
And I mean, you know, like, I want to say this in like the least mean way possible because like, I feel like Joe has been really pretty great in his run on Raw, but like, I could watch Braun and Roman Reigns wrestle for an entire episode of Raw.
Correct.
If they just had a 3 hour long match where they like in an abandoned building or something, like that would be the best match.
Oh my god, that would be the best match. They need to buy a building that they can destroy.
Right?
And like, just have them go.
Like if they did like, and like honestly, like, you know, like Braun and Roman are probably the only two dudes who could believably they could build like a pre-taped empty arena style match around, you know,
right.
Like they did with Funkamala, where they could be like, these two guys are too dangerous for fans to be around.
So, yeah, like it's gotten to that point.
You know what you do? Like, you pre-tape the match, right? And you just like intersplice it, like as you're going to commercial breaks and like stuff like that, because you have the audience that paid who needs to do their shit. So like you do like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Here's a 10 minute stretch to end the show or whatever. But yeah, that's what you do. And then like they'd completely destroy the building and they fight for 3 hours. That would be the best episode of Raw ever.
That would be awesome. Like if they did that like pre-tape destroy house thing with Braun and Roman Reigns instead of Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, like that would be my match of the year right now. I guarantee it. but like Joe is so good in all the segments. But like Joe, as sad as it is for me to say, because I really like Joe, like he, you know, he is a step slower than those other two dudes, I think.
Right
is,
now, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
The Lesnar match though was phenomenal. I will defend that Lesnar match. Like I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was really, you know, like 4 stars too.
Yeah.
I think the Lesnar match was a fine match. Like you know, all three of us are high on the Goldberg-Lesnar match, but, like, I felt like it was just a worse version of that same formula. Does that make sense?
Well, there's only so much you can do with Joe compared to Goldberg, who's just like, hey, here's some explosive spots. Joe is more of like, I'm just going to freaking start mauling you. He doesn't have the explosive stuff that Goldberg does, but that felt more like a fight, which I was a big fan of. Like, it needed to be that type of match, and I think it did it so.
I think the you know, Joe's choke, like, it's certainly, like, protected, but building a match around him putting it on a bunch, I think, takes away. Like, Dylan Hales made a similar point, and, you know, I don't always agree with Dylan, but I felt he was pretty right on about this, you know?
Yeah.
That, like, you know, it makes sense from a psychological standpoint, like, why Joe would, like, keep trying to choke out Brock Lesnar, but, like, it wasn't entertaining for me to be like, oh, Joe put the choke back on 7 times, you know?
Right.
But, and you know, like, I think it was a fine match. Like, it was worth watching, you know? I think it was entertaining, but it's not one that's necessarily gonna stick with me.
It's not LA Park vs. Rush from earlier this year.
It is.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that match. So, that's from Lucha Memes? Or
it's
no,
from,
no, that
what is it from? I haven't written here.
The one this year
is Baracall Entertainment, is what I have.
Yeah, is Baracall, yeah.
What the fuck? What is Lucha? Lucha leads all of professional wrestling in weird promotional matches.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But this one I thought was better than the ones from last year.
Yeah, this match was awesome. I really love this match. Yeah, it's worth a watch if you haven't seen it, Tim. Yeah, I think it's great. Did you hear, someone asked, LA Park about, like going to AAA? And he said, like, I can't remember his exact wording, but he roughly said, like, I'm too much of an asshole to fit in just one promotion, so I'm gonna stay independent. I thought that was a really awesome response.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, we have Hogan coming in now, and I found it very weird that him and Jimmy Snuka was the first, like, matchup.
Yeah. Right.
It was like, I gotta go after Snuka, damn it. But, like.
No, Haku eliminating himself, basically. That's great.
That's pretty good.
Haku's gonna be in CMLL pretty soon.
What?
Oh my god, yes he is.
Yeah, he's in the International Grand Prix.
Fucking hell, that's awesome.
Yeah. I want. He needs to work Negro Casas. Like if he doesn't work Negro Casas, what the hell is he doing there?
Like Roosh is also in that tournament. Like yeah. I would be down for a Roosh versus Haku brawl.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Anything with Haku.
I need a Negro Casas Haku match because they're combined age of like 120, yeah. but it would be an incredible match.
That'd be my match with you.
That would be awesome. That's like when Dick Togo did that tour of the U.S. a little bit ago, and right. I really wanted him and Black Terry to end up having a match because right. they literally have a combined age of 100, and that has a good chance of being like a 4 or 5 star match.
Yeah, but instead they put Dick Togo versus who the fuck was it? Josh Alexander's partner.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Can't remember his name. The other Canadian. But, yeah, all ego. Ethan Page, yeah.
Ethan Page, right. yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? You have Dick Togo and you put him against Ethan Page? Like, that, like, I think soured me on Evolve for, like, the rest of the year. I just couldn't handle it. It was just, Ethan Page? Like, anyone?
I will say, like, to get back to some of our previous conversation, like, I don't love Ethan Page, you know, and I don't love his work necessarily, but I do feel like he comes across as a big deal for a specific promotion.
Yeah, he's tried to do that for Evolve, which you have to admit. Now, a lot of that storyline, right, because Gargano left and he basically tried to take Gargano out as he left.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, I do agree. Like, you have to give him some type of respect for going that far, and I know he's a vanity searcher on Twitter, so if he vanity searches and finds his name on this podcast and he listens to this, we love you, Ethan. You're great.
Yeah, and I think he's a lot better.
You go above and beyond, Mr. Page. You know?
I like Josh Alexander. All
right.
On a side note.
Yeah, crisscross!
So this is the famous Warrior Hogan shit, right?
Finish, right.
They're just going nuts. Double clothesline.
I love that Heenan is still out there. My favorite part is Heenan is still out there. Heenan is still out there.
I guess he has someone else coming later.
No, this is it.
No, this is not it.
This is it.
He's still perfect.
There's nobody else.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That's right. Perfect is the last guy.
He's the perfect number.
That's right. I totally forgot about perfect. Oh, yeah, here it comes. That's right.
So yeah, but
it's Barbarian then Perfect. That's right.
So yeah, Barbarian. That's Heenan's. So, or is it? Is that still Slick at the time?
I can't remember. But yeah, there is. It's just one of the things that I'm hoping that I can get once baseball season is over and I get some regularity. Is I actually want to go back. I do want to watch some of the G1 like JR's talking about.
Yeah,
I do want to. Be back into like a regular wrestling watching mode. Oh, like I haven't had that in a really long time.
Me neither. I'm trying with Beyond to get caught up because it's an entertaining, fun promotion to watch, at least. And the shows are quick, and the streaming service is really good. It's right on YouTube, so
yeah. I mean, I watch most of Raw most weeks. And then I pretty religiously watch Puebla.
Did Drew jump in early?
Yeah, he just decided to do what he wanted. I mean, are you going to tell Rick Rude not to do what he wants?
I guess.
Right.
Sorry. Continue.
That's an upper body business, Steve.
Rick Rude, and like when I first got the network and was rewatching a lot of this stuff, I'm like, it's interesting how the network has been going on 3 years now or something like that, I sort of already take it for granted that I have all this stuff, but like I was voracious at rewatching these things that I hadn't seen in a decade or whatever, when it first came on. But like Rick Rude is a person that I've always liked as a wrestler, but rewatching this time period of stuff, like, 90 through 93, like, he's a revelation how good he is.
Oh, no. he is a top performer. Like, it's amazing to see. And it's really funny. It started with the Warriors series. Like, really, it goes from there, and then basically his time as a top guy, I would say probably until the end of his stuff with Flair.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, dude, this guy is fucking really good. Like, just really fucking good.
I don't think there's ever been, like, a more athletic bumper who bumps in a way where, like, his athleticism makes it look like it hurts more as opposed to like, you know, it just looks like he's an athlete. Like, people back body drop Rick Rude, and he gets, like, so much height and just, like, kills himself, you know?
He like, really hits those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, he pulled off a gonzo bomb in 1989 on Warrior.
Right, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Warrior. But yeah, but I watch, like, I watch Pueblo every week. I'm pretty good about that. Like, that's the show that I watch really consistently. Which is like, which is a fine, it's sort of what I want out of a wrestling show, you know, because there's no storylines necessarily, or like the ones that are pretty self-contained, like two people fight in a tag match and one, you know, hits somebody in the balls and then they yell at each other on a mic and then 2 weeks down the road they fight in a singles match. Like, that's the extent of CML's booking for Puebla, you know?
That's pretty much like, main event or like, Superstars totally. Roast, yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's a fun part of wrestling that I don't get a lot, because everything is so, like, not epic at this point, but like so laden with context, you know? And
right.
I feel like Puebla, you can just turn on Puebla and be like, oh, like, that dude's clearly a dick. I'm supposed to like this dude. All right, I'm good to go, you know? Like,
yeah. That's how I feel about CWF. I feel like that's totally. Why that makes that very digestible for me, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
For sure.
So.
It's nice to have wrestling that's doing wrestling and not just having great matches sometimes.
Right. Yeah, 100%, you know?
But, like, really, all I want to watch is the Mae Young Classic, and I'm so pissed off.
Yeah,
it's, like, taped, and it's not.
August
I can't
14th.
Watch it. Yeah, why can't I watch it for, like, 2 weeks when it's taped like a week ago?
So my thought was, I thought they were going to do the finals at TakeOver Brooklyn. Like, I thought that was the idea, that they were going to do
a special on, like, the 28th or something.
Right, but it's going to be a network special instead. So, and Kairi Sane tried to roll out of the way of a leg drop and got concussed. The clip is out there. So,
oh, jeez.
Avoid spoilers on this for me.
That's all I heard. Like, I don't know, like, what the context was, but. I just know that she took a concussion, and so, hopefully she's okay, but.
I just want to see as many of her elbow drops as possible. Like,
correct.
I hope that her matches are literally just like someone getting in the ring, like taking a scoop slam or something, and then just her doing like 10 straight elbow drops. Like, that's what I want out of the Mae Young Classic.
Well, it's weird because I think they were really hoping that they could have had a Kairi Sane, Io Shirai final, or at least a Kairi Sane, like they meet at some point in the tournament. But with Shirai's, I guess it's either concussion or neck issue that on the medical that kept her out.
Yeah, she has a neck issue.
Yeah, so they're working that out before she comes in, but it's like. Man, like that kind of sucks. Although I guess that builds to a natural thing between the two of them if it ever happens. So,
do you think like after this, it will be like the women will get their own show? They'll be part of NXT. They'll be part of the main roster. Or are we getting Women Live? Or what are we gonna get?
Yeah. I think 205 Live is gone. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, boy, they need to end 205 Live. What a stillborn show, you know? Like, although they keep, like, I mean, not to, like, I guess this isn't talking bad. He knows he's 160 pounds, but, like, if you're signing people like Leo Rush, like, what future do you think that dude has outside of a cruiserweight show? Like,
right.
Do you really feel like in a world where, like, I know that they've gotten smaller, but, like, you really feel like Leo Rush versus, like, even, like, Dean Ambrose
is like a believable television feud, you know?
Yeah, like Leo Rush versus Rich Swann. It's like that's where we are right now.
Yeah, and like Leo Rush would look small in that, you know, like
yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it seems weird to me to like continue to sign all these people with seemingly like no plan, you know. But
yeah, it's just like they're signing them for the sake of signing them. Like,
yeah, talent, which so. I mean, you know, like of course that's what they're gonna do because
you fit them into the slot later. You just sign up the best talent. You know, it's a good strategy.
Yeah, I mean, for WWE. Why is Hogan bringing Perfect back into the ring?
Because he went through the middle ropes.
Yeah.
Smart. Hogan is smarter than I am. I get it.
Smart. I just pointed to my head here.
That was a really good lariat by Perfect. I really like that one.
Yeah.
Hogan knew the sell for Perfect. Remember, Perfect's the one guy, like one of two people who have a win over Hogan.
At this point. This is around the Genius Hogan Warrior like tags and stuff on Saturday's main event. Why is Perfect going for a Perfect Plex? That's the question.
So Hogan can do this.
Oh, so Hogan can poke up. That's so I don't know what to say about that.
I love also, like, I mean, not to, you know, like, we talked about the Young Bucks a little bit earlier, but, like, it's amazing to me how many old-timers are like, boy, this no-selling is ruining the business. When the dude who has made more money than God in this industry no-sold something in every match he was ever in. Like, his entire gimmick was built around no-selling. Like,
and the Road Warriors, too. Like,
yeah, and Ultimate Warrior, yeah. And Steve Austin. Like, all of these dudes would just pop up. Like...
Did you guys see the Bucks a couple of days ago? They, because you know the whole thing is them and the Revival. They're just, you know.
Yeah, they go back and forth. Yeah.
They go back and forth, but they're also smart enough to know that if it actually happens, they'll actually draw money. So
yeah.
Good on both of them. Somebody asked, I think Nick Jackson, hey, if the Revival were using leg-based offense to prevent your super kicks, how would you defend it? And Nick was like, we'd no-sell it. I was like, okay, I'm firmly on Team Revival here, but that's really fucking good. Like, that's really fucking good.
Yeah. So, Hogan's
so Hogan wins. Yeah, so Hogan wins.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, right?
Well, so. JR had no idea.
I had no idea. Yeah.
So, he got, like, who were you thinking later on in this match?
I thought Warrior, because I thought that they would set up WrestleMania 6. I couldn't remember, though, because it's been that long, so.
It's not, you know, like, honestly, like, rewatching this, you know, on mute and talking the entire way through it, like, this is not a bad Rumble. Like,
no.
You know, it's funny when, like, I'll tell a story, like, when I moved to New York with a friend in, like, 2007, and like, I tried to get him into wrestling, and like, to some extent, I succeeded in terms of like, we would watch Raw every week, and he was like, pretty into the like, current ongoings of Raw in 2007, 2008, when like, Randy Orton and John Cena were feuding endlessly. But like, I remember one time we went to an FYE, and they like, had the Royal Rumble box sets on clearance, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy the, like, Attitude Era Royal Rumbles.
Ooh.
So, like, I can show my friends, like, just, like, how freaking awesome everybody was back then. And we, like, we put them on, and, like, you don't realize, like, looking back, like, how thin a lot of those Royal Rumbles are, where you're just like,
yeah. Oh,
like, come on, like, Golga and Val Venus have been fighting for 4 hours now. When is Stone Cold coming? Like,
yeah.
So, like, this was actually, like, I didn't feel like, you know, that there was ever a period where there wasn't somebody who in this match, you know?
Yeah.
There was always some sort of star power there.
Yeah, I think this one's a lot of fun, yeah. To be honest. Yeah. I think the early ones are always a lot of fun. But
DiBiase was probably the Iron Man in this one.
I think so.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was in there for about 35 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which used to be an Iron Man thing.
Sure.
But one of the joys of this show is that we kind of got a time limit here. So the Rumble ended. So we'll have to save our rambling for a future episode. If we get picked up for future episodes, we'll see.
Right. This is our pilot.
The pilot. We'll send it out to the various networks and see who picks it up. But I'd like to thank JR and Tim for joining me, and maybe we'll see you again in the future.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, guys.